Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Yes, just like that, it's time for Travelling Tunes. Morena Kirsten.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm really good. Just had to clean up a little bit of cat vomit. Thank you, everyone. Sorry to hear that.
Love that. I know better way to start a Friday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also putting us in the mood for, you know, just sort of, yeah. So today we're doing Baggy, which is just one of the most awesome genre names anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally in reference to the clothes, the baggy clothes worn in this genre. So this genre is sort of basically sort of the 80s. And it was in the UK in the region / area of Manchester. Now, I learned a new word today. It's conurbations, which is a smushed urban area of lots of cities.
Mm.
And so it says the Manchester conurbation, one of England's most populous conurbations. But apparently using baggy is better because it's the calling it Manchester, what they sometimes call it, is too regional because some of the bands don't come from there. But it was a really important little genre, sort of bringing a lot of dance and house elements into the rock scene. And it gave birth to Britpop later on. I was reading a funny article about it saying, yes, it died out and it's naff now and nobody wants to talk about it. But I prefer to think, this person said, that it died and went to heaven.
Wow. That's so interesting because I do feel as though a lot of these songs are like classics that still get played and like adored on BFM quite a lot. It's very in line with this sort of BFM sound. So I do feel as though it didn't die for quite a few people, but yeah.
That's... Actually, no, I think you're right. And I guess this person was referring to the British press, I guess, is their,
right. Yeah.
Their standard. And you're right, they hadn't considered a globally and, you know, just what radio might be doing. But yeah, the British press, I guess, tends to be quite snobby. And so they're going, yeah, everyone says it's dead. I guess they're also wondering, because it's been nearly 30 years it's been more than 30 years, that music's supposed to have these revivals, you know, every 30 years, these phases, and it didn't, as far as, you know, new bands and a new genre version. So I guess that's why they're saying, you know, it didn't have that like other genre. But
yeah.
But to imagine it in heaven instead. No, they said it's deeply unpopular right now, unfashionable to talk about it.
That's so interesting. I guess I do think of some of these bands, I wonder if they sort of like were really popular at the time, had a bit of a lull, and then the like my generation now is really falling back in love with them and sort of, I don't know.
Right. I mean, yeah. I think a different generation, that's a good point too. So maybe it's the people at the time going, oh my God, did we do that?
Yeah.
Or did we dress like that? Because it was had a lot of youthful energy, you know, it was very, you know, just sort of earnest, you know, so yeah, maybe it's a generation thing that the people that were there are like, no, let's not go back.
Mm.
But newer generation are going, this is awesome. What's wrong with that?
Mm-hmm. Which song would you like to start with?
Well, let's do the Stone Roses.
Yeah, awesome. It's a gold category in the BFM library.
Well, I mean, that's interesting to think about too. It's like, why is this relating so much, you know, here, other side of the globe?
Yeah.
Now, this got a really long intro, this song.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this. I mean, maybe everyone knows the Stone Roses, but tell us about them and about this song in particular.
They're from the UK, West Midlands. And I tend to homogenize UK, but, you know, the regions all have their distinctive characteristics. My gosh, they even have whole accents, you know, and sometimes languages and slang. This song was from their debut album, but it has 1983, but it has 140 million Spotify streams and 57 million YouTube views. It's been used in TV shows and films. I mean, so to think of, you know, a young band from a non-London, you know, region to just have this outstanding long-term, you know, popularity, it's just, I guess it's you know, when you get songs like this, it's because it speaks to people somehow, and to be used in films like over and over again decades later and TV shows, it shows that whatever aura it creates is just so relevant to people.
Yeah, totally. It's that funny, it's that beautiful thing of like a lot of music from this era and time and place, I guess, of like just pretty normal people making this music that seems to resonate with so many people, and it just blowing up to be bigger than anybody could have imagined.
Yeah, they don't seem like sort of rock star sort of people, you know, they're just like you said, like normal young people forming bands.
Okay, well, let's listen to I Want to Be Adored by the Stone Roses. It is really interesting talking before about, you know, relevance and all of that. And someone's just texted in that they use the term baggy to describe a song or whatever, and thought, is this term even that relevant? I must admit, this is probably just my ignorance, but I didn't know about the term baggy as like the genre for this. I just thought it was sort of fit under like rock and shoegaze and dream pop and like all of these beautiful things that bands like the Cocteau Twins and Stone Roses were pretty influential in, but I didn't know about baggy as like a bigger sort of umbrella term for this like time and place.
Yeah, it definitely sounds sort of like popped on afterwards. Like at the time, I can't imagine people going, oh yeah, I'm a big baggy fan.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
Although, you know, like trying to read about this, I can't, the number of genre names and people trying to describe it, neo-psychedelic, alternative rock, jangled dream pop, Mancunian, post-punk and new wave with electronica and psychedelia.
Oh,
like,
my
it's
God.
Just like, so like baggy possibly. It's like, okay, let's just call it baggy. You know, at some point, I guess this British press again, you know, it was just an easier umbrella because otherwise all these, so many genre names, you know, and then what if you don't know what those are, you have to look up each one to try to understand what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I guess you can hear it. But yeah, you're right, baggy's a really funny term, and I hadn't heard it. Well, I was alive at the time. I hadn't heard it called that at the time.
I guess it just goes to show that when such a term that's sort of more relevant to like the clothes people were wearing or the time and place that reflects that, there was quite a lot happening sonically that was hard to box into any one genre.
Yes, yes.
That's quite cool.
Yeah. And then I know sometimes, you know, we're talking about boxing, you know, we've talked about this a lot on the show. Sometimes bands don't want to be boxed in, right?
Mm.
And called a genre even. Like, no, I'm not this, I'm a little bit that. But, you know, the whole point of having these genre names or terms is so people can find it, you know, and now with Spotify, things are like named and hashtagged.
Mm.
And so, like, you just kind of want these terms as much as people don't like to be sort of boxed in to a term so that people can go, you know, I like that. So, well, then you might like this, you know?
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know if the scene at the time, I don't think it's a self-termed scene term.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing too, is the difference between a scene and a genre.
Mm. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Okay, what should we have next?
Well, let's do the charlatan. Oh, wait, yeah.
Yeah, let's. Okay, another gold from the BFM library. The only one I know is the name of this one. Let's give it a listen and then we'll have a chat. Good's that organ, eh? So classic.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does make them stick out. It's really awesome. And I guess you can hear more of the dance. Like, I don't hear house and, like, air quotes, dance music, but this is danceable music, you know? And so it's, you know, to have, like, the rock scene at the time, that they're like, that's why they keep, what's so distinctive is that it's rock and dance, house and indie. They'll say, you know, I don't really hear the house, but the way the crowd can act and get into it, it's got that dance element. And I guess, you know, imagining the scene live at the time, you know, going to gigs, that, yeah, you dance.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder about whether music like this was sort of like paved the way a little bit for genres like trip hop and, like, you know, other meetings of, more like guitar rocky sort of vibes and electronic music.
Yeah, and I think absolutely, and I think it really reflects, I guess, these young people at the time having multiple influences, and then it goes into the mixing bowl of their soul and then comes out with their version of, you know, white British kids, you know, grabbing multiple influences that mean something to them.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, so cool. The Charlatans. And of course, to end on, we've got some Cocteau Twins.
Yeah, and see, they're not from Manchester or even that region. They're Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
But so I guess that's why people are using baggy now instead of the Madchester scene, just to sort of, because, you know, it was bigger. And the Cocteau Twins, they're a trio named after a French writer, poet. Oh, and they're also from this record label 4AD that has had heaps of bands around this time, the Pixies, Bauhaus, Throwing Muses. And so the aesthetic as well of the artist guy from their record label, of the whole visual aesthetic of what they're doing too. Really cool stories. And part of this air quotes thing / scene / genre thing.
Yeah, it definitely feels as though 4AD is the sort of one of the labels that comes to mind as being most influential of this sort of era.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And again, with the genre you know, in things written about it, dream pop, shoegaze, goth, post-punk, ethereal, indie pop. It's like, okay, pick a lane. So maybe that's why baggy just became useful, because it was more the people. I guess, yeah, so instead of name for the musicians or the music style, right, it's the people, the crowd, the you know, the vibe of the era, I guess, is name, using that name instead to describe it.
Very cool. Okay, well, we're going to end on Ice Blink Luck, which is such a banger. I mean, this whole album, Heaven or Las Vegas, so, so special, eh?
Yeah. So some people will be learning something new and some people will be reminiscing.
Well, thank you so much, Kirsten. It's been another great Travelling Tunes, talking all things baggy with you, and looking forward to seeing what you've got for us next week.
Okay.
Bye.
Travelling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zimke.